Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Tuesday morning, so we are talking about getting healed. Recently, we've been talking about forgiveness and forgiving others, forgiving ourselves, and forgiving God. We're still working on forgiving ourselves, but hopefully you've gotten the idea that we don't forgive based on the other person at all. We now forgive because we are a forgiving person. It's part of our character, part of our nature. We don't really choose to do it. We do it because it's part of who we are. So it really doesn't involve the other person at all. And by forgiving, we release them to God's working in their lives. Now, we also discussed that when dealing with other people, just because you forgive them doesn't mean there aren't consequences to their actions, and that the weight of that, those consequences, though, are not the other person's, they're ours. We are the ones who make decisions. None of us can change the behavior of someone else. We have a hard enough time changing our own. So it is up to us to, by forgiving them, we free them into God's hands, and we don't ask or expect them to change. We are the ones who make decisions and choices based on the reality of the situation. And we've been using examples especially of relationships. And the specific relationships we've been looking at were employer and employee and husband and wife, where perhaps in an employee-employer relationship, perhaps someone was caught stealing. And it's up to the employer to decide what to do. It's not the employee's decision about whether necessarily they stay there or not. If they've gotten caught, now they may quit, and that's their choice. But the employer is the one, the employer was wronged. They are the ones who get to decide whether they want to keep the employee and ask for restitution, or if they want to file a criminal complaint, or if they just want to fire them. Likewise with the adulterous relationship, the person who is wronged gets to decide how they want the relationship to be restructured. There's a recognition that trust has been destroyed. So the one who has been wronged, it has nothing to do with forgiveness. It has to do with rebuilding trust and rebuilding relationship. And if the other person, just as in the employer-employee relationship, if the other person does not want to abide by the choices made by the one who was wronged and they decide to leave, likewise in a marital relationship, very often the one who committed adultery doesn't want to be held accountable, and their option is to leave. But it's important that the one who has been wronged understand that they are the ones who are responsible for setting those boundaries and guidelines. In other words, if they want to try to work through the relationship, they are the ones who get to set the requirements for this is what it will take to rebuild trust. This is what it will take to rebuild this relationship. And that's different. That is totally different than forgiveness in any way, shape, or form. Okay, hopefully that's come clear. And what that does is that separates the strings that we have. It frees God to do what his responsibility is, and it frees us to do what's our responsibility. Because we're no longer in either one of these situations, we're not talking about a spiritual issue. We're talking about a solical issue and a natural issue. So those are the levels that needs to be dealt with. This adultery, for instance, happens just as often in non-Christian and Christian relationships alike. So it's not about being a Christian. And so when we leave the responsibility to God, we are abdicating our own responsibility. If you are in that relationship, you need to be taking responsibility for your part in that relationship, regardless of whether it's employee-employer or in a marital relationship or whatever kind of relationship, and not just, you know, so often we hear, you know, well, God's going to take care of it. But if it's your responsibility, he's going to let you take care of it. He's not going to automatically step in if this is an area that is your responsibility. We don't look to him for buying groceries. We get in our car and we go and we buy groceries. We understand that's our responsibility. But likewise, taking care of our relationships is also our responsibility. It's not looking to the other person to change. It's what can you do? What is your responsibility? And then what are your expectations? You know, we also look at, you know, these relationships, how often are they based on objective reality and compatibility versus what we think God wants for us. And so many of us are still lacking that confidence that we're clearly hearing from him. And until we can clearly hear from him and we know how to go to him to get direction, there's that disconnect, then why then are we saying, well, this is God's will for my life, when we don't know how to verify that? We don't know that that's true because we don't have that confidence that we're hearing from him. That we know how to test what we're hearing. So that brings us to forgiving ourselves. And just as in forgiving others and forgiving God, we start with the understanding that we have already forgiven ourselves. Whatever it is we may have done or said or thought, or think we did or said or thought, you have forgiven yourself. You've let yourself off the hook, spiritually speaking. So whatever guilt or condemnation or decisions you're making now based on decisions and thoughts and actions you may have made, it's a false trap. It's an illusion. And it's likely, it's not coming from God, it's likely coming from the world, the flesh, or the devil, your enemies. And so we want to increase our awareness of what we're thinking, why we're thinking it. What are we basing our actions on? We all have regrets. But when they come to the surface, we want to know how to deal with those regrets once and for all. What we want to look at is the whole concept of our ability to mess up God's purpose for our lives. We think that we are so powerful that we can keep God from doing what he wants in our lives. And when you really think of that, it kind of
kind of hopefully will put things in perspective. That there's none of us is that powerful or strong enough. And there's, you know, we have doctrines and beliefs, and we've talked many times before on our Monday series about being willing to change those doctrines and beliefs if they don't stand up to God's character and our new nature. God's not going to change. Our beliefs have to change. So when we think that God is so weak, or that he has somehow submitted himself to our will, I love Paul's phrase of idolatry of the will. In other words, we have exalted our will, our notion of our free, so-called free will, that that is what determines the outcome or and the pleasing, our pleasing God, is how we, the choices we make. Well, that's silly. You have no control over the will that God gave you. Some of us have strong wills. Some of us have weak wills. That was not your choice. God's not going to give you extra credit because of something he did for you. Just as in the realm of the emotions or the aspect of our soul, of the emotions or our mind. Some of us have a strong mind. Some of us have a weak mind. Some of us have strong emotions. Some of us have weak emotions. There's no, that's not a value statement in any way, shape, or form. And you will find those who really push one or the other. You know, like, you know, God's calling for this people, for us this day is to be compassionate towards those that are less fortunate. Or, you know, God wants us to be disciplined and fulfilling our purpose. Or, you know, God wants us to is revealing himself more clearly and giving us greater understanding. Well, those appeal to our emotions, our will, and our mind. And if we believe that, all we're going to do is be focusing on the strength of our soul and basically leaving God out of it. Because God gave you the soul he wanted you to have. He does not value a strong will over a weak will, or strong emotions over weak emotions, or a strong mind over a weak mind. Those are terms we use. We have social, you know, expectations and of what is successful. And unfortunately, we often respond to those kinds of appeals. And this is where we need to come back and let God speak to us about areas that we are manipulatable, where we are vulnerable. If we are an emotional person, if we have a strong emotional bent, and you know, we see the appeals for, you know, the starving children. And if we don't know how to go to God to ask if this is something he wants us to respond to, we are vulnerable. And we will respond to our own emotions, sometimes beyond what is good for us. Now, a lot of times God will say, you know, God, you know, we'll go to him. We can go to him and say, God, this is something, this is a cause I'd really like to support. You know, and we do our research and we do our due diligence to investigate the organization. And, Lord, I really want to support this. Is this okay? And he may say, it's up to you. So it's not something that one of the things he's teaching us to do is develop our internal judgment based on our dependence on him. Our mind, will, and emotions are only as free as they are healed. And this is why this forgiveness is so important, is because if we believe that we have to forgive someone or ask God to forgive us whenever we do something wrong or make a mistake, we are never living past the cross, and we have not entered into the resurrection. God sent his Son not to die on the cross, but to experience resurrection. Okay, let me repeat that. Think about that. The purpose of Jesus' coming was not to die on the cross and pay for your sins. That was the way to the resurrection. He could not be resurrected until he had gone to the cross. So our focus should be his focus, which is living as new creatures, new creation, a new spirit being. And if he paid that debt, it's paid, it's done. Whether you believe it or not, it's done. So when we continue to carry these burdens, we're believing a lie. Now, this is not something that you may be able to battle your own beliefs about, because this is so ingrained in us, in the teachings, in Christian circles. And also, it keeps your flesh in control. If you are looking for ways that you've messed up, you will stay focused on your own actions, on your own heart, on your own motives. And that will be a block to God moving in and through you. So that is a way your soul maintains control, which is flesh, which God hates. So we can... And we will. We'll continue to talk about how forgiveness, everything, all change occurred 2,000 years ago for all of us. And we entered into that. And we can talk about that from a belief standpoint, from an understanding viewpoint, and even a feeling and a making choices. But until God makes it real to you, all we're doing is learning by our head and our heart and our choices, by our soul. God's desire is that he have an opportunity to reveal himself to you in all areas. So let's just ask him real quick. If this is an area he's ready to talk to you directly or reveal himself directly to you, that you were forgiven 2,000 years ago and there is no longer anything you need to ask for forgiveness for. There are things you're going to say, I'm sorry for, and how can I make this right? But every sin you've ever committed or will commit has already been forgiven. And to go back to him now and ask him to forgive you, it's when we say that is, you know, his remembrance of our sins are as far as the east is from the west, that's not as an as-if situation. It's not as if they were as far as the east is from the west. It's a reality. Your sins and mistakes and faults have all been paid for. So when we bring them back up again, we're basically arguing with God. Now, being the patient and loving Father, he's giving us time to work through this. But we want to let him make that real to us and acknowledge that that's what he wants. He doesn't want us struggling with this. He doesn't want us living with guilt and condemnation and walking around waiting for the other shoe to drop, waiting for consequences to our actions, thinking, you know, we have the phrases in the church just as well as outside. You've made your bed, now lie in it. Well, you know, and when there's a marriage issue, it's like, well, you married him, you know, you made that choice, you're stuck with him. Like, well, let's see what God has to say about that. Is that God's intent for us? That when we've made a decision that we have to live the rest of our lives here on this earth with it, even though he says he's forgiven us. We all need to experience that forgiveness, that release for ourselves. So it's not just a belief or an understanding. So, Lord, we just ask right now that you know for each one of us what we need to hear from you, what we need to experience from you, in order to put this whole issue in its rightful place, which was 2,000 years ago. Lord, whatever each one of us needs from you, we just give you permission to bring it into our lives, and we will accept it from you in whatever way you want to reveal it. And we give you the time and the place of your choosing. But Lord, we just want everything that you want for us. We want that freedom, that healing, that wholeness, and we're willing to learn to live as spirit beings, as your sons, as dependent on you. And we're willing to give up our strengths, our weaknesses, our reliance on our own soul, in order to depend and receive your life. And we thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that 2,000 years ago you did forgive every sin, every area of death in us, and that we no longer have to live according to the old ways, our own old beliefs, our old expectations. We can now live in newness of eternal life, your life. And we are looking forward to what you have in store for us for this coming year. So as we move forward and look at, okay, then what do we do with forgiveness of ourselves? Well, we're going to go through the steps. Not because it hasn't been done, not because God hasn't forgiven you, but because we want to give him more opportunity to bring to the surface areas that need to be clarified, need to be healed. When we recognize that what's important to him is that dependent relationship, we can rest that whatever is interfering with that, he wants to deal with. Now, sometimes it's not in the time we want it to be, the time frame, but that's his choice too. And we learn to accept that. So, well, for right now, just take a moment and hope and get a pen and paper. Hopefully you've been keeping notes on this forgiveness series. And just let the Lord bring to the surface any area, any thought, memory, or emotion regarding something that you are holding yourself accountable for. And just write it down. And for those listening in the archive, if you need to just pause this and just give yourself enough time and just write everything down. Now, sometimes there are things that you're going to write down that you've already dealt with. Don't worry about it for now. Just get them all written down. Now remember, this is between you and God. This is not about you at this point in time going out and letting other people know. And God wants us to respect his privacy. When he's dealing with things, you don't need to let everybody in your Bible study group know. Now, there may be a time for that, but the changes he's making in your life are not teaching moments. They're reality. And they're very personal to him, and he wants them to be personal to us. So unless he specifically directs you otherwise, just keep it between you and him. So, for instance, it could be, you know, when you were growing up, you know, anger towards your parents or your brothers and sisters, or a situation where maybe you were a bully on the playground, or maybe you were the victim. And you always felt stupid or angry or, you know, weak because you didn't know how to defend yourself. Or at the parents or your teachers because they didn't stick up for you. And really go ahead and put in some time now and in the coming weeks and let God bring to the surface, because sometimes these are the most personal. There's a reason we left these to the end, just to sort of, you know, after forgiving God and after forgiving others. Because most of the time, you know, our standards for ourselves, we think, I didn't think that was in me. You know, I can't believe I did that. That's not me. Well, in a sense, you're right, because your soul is not you. You're a spirit being. But regardless, this is, we're learning how to go to God with our disappointments, with our stupid things we've done. And some of us have done really stupid things. Okay, so let's get on with it. And yes, there are consequences. And we learn to, we face those consequences, we deal with them, and we move on. We don't let the past control our present and determine our future. But as we move forward, we're going to get specific. We're going to name names and emotions and actions. So as you develop your list, I want you to put down in some detail. It doesn't have to be, you know, like the color of the shirt you were wearing or... But do be, give some detail about that particular situation. And again, it can just be that your reaction to something happening to you doesn't necessarily have to be something you did yourself. But very often what happens is we take on responsibility for other people's actions. In other words, that one time my dad got so angry at me and I deserved it. And we begin to believe lies about ourselves. And these are the areas where God knows what's in your memory bank and he knows what's in your heart and he knows what's keeping you from entering into his rest. You may even want to pull out your photo albums, any photographs you've got, or your yearbook, or anything you've got from growing up, and just giving them an opportunity to bounce memories to the surface. And for right now, just write them all down. Write down what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you were thinking, what you were feeling, and let them all come out. And just write them down. And we'll pick it up there next Tuesday. So for now, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. See you Thursday at 7:30. Have a great day.